Good morning. I think we've probably all had times in our lives where something has happened and there just really isn't any other way of explaining it except that it was prayer. And I can count on my hand, really, those times in my life where I can do that. And it felt like about 20 minutes ago when Rob was announcing Sandra's birthday. And then he said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I thought that was perfect timing. I felt like we needed some prayer right then. Happy birthday, Sandra. It is good to see everybody out this morning. I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for our leadership here. I'm thankful that this is a place that we can come and it's full of grace and support. And I'm going to start with an illustration. And for some of you, it's going to be a tale of ancient technology. But there are some of us here today that will remember and understand the days before DVRs and clouds and digital things like that. But if you needed to record something on TV, you had to have a blank VHS tape and a VCR. And then you would record your show and you'd watch it a couple of times. And then you would eventually, you'd run out of tape. And the cool thing, and maybe not cool isn't probably the right word, but you could, once you finish that tape, you could rewind it all the way back to the beginning again, scratch off whatever you had on the label, and presto whammo, you've got a new movie again. And I guess that's kind of the way that I've always thought about life, or forgiveness that way, or baptism that way. Like when you get baptized, you sort of rewound back to before whatever sin took place, and you sort of write back over it. And I know that I've been in moments where I wished I could do that, where I could just rewind, take back some of the things that I've said. Maybe immediately after it left your mouth, you wished you could just rewind and do that all over again like it never had happened. Maybe you've fought something, or you've went somewhere, or you've done something that hurt someone. I think back of times where I unjudged people unfairly, where I've judged people unfairly, the times where I've criticized people, the things that I've done that I wish so bad that I could rewind it and start over and undo it. And I think that sometimes that's the way we think about baptism. That baptism is kind of a do-over, and you can rewind and it can be like it never happened, and you can just start again. I heard a sermon illustration one time, and I've used it, and I thought before that it was exactly right. And it went something like this, that there was this man who was abusive to his wife, and so his wife finally got fed up with it, and she left him, and she moved in with her dad. And then the husband goes to a gospel meeting, and he becomes baptized, and he feels like, I'm starting all over again. And so he goes to his father-in-law's house to get his wife, and his father-in-law says, no, you can't take her. You're mean to her. And the husband says, no, I've never been mean to her. And the father-in-law says, yeah, you hit her. And the husband says, no, I've never done that. Just as if it were another person. And I've tended to think about baptism that way. But there's more to it than that. And actually, it's not that simple. Baptism isn't just a rewind button that takes us back to whatever sin we committed happened. Baptism actually doesn't erase the past. Our past is not erased at baptism, but our past is redeemed. And that's true of the subsequent forgiveness as well. Our past is never really erased, but it is redeemed. It isn't as if we have never sinned. It's as if we have sinned, but we have been forgiven. It's as if we have sinned, but we have been given grace and mercy. And this morning, I want to explore that why that is a better thing. Why it's better that our past hasn't been erased, but it has been repaired and it's been redeemed. It's better that life isn't and doesn't come with a rewind button that just rewinds where we can just do it all over again like it never happened. It's better that our past isn't erased. And I know sometimes, at least for me, that we wish it was, that we wish that thing had never happened, but our past isn't erased. It's redeemed, and it's a better thing by far. Well, we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul, a.k.a. Saul. You may know that Saul wasn't really changed his name to Paul at one time or another. Sometimes we talk about it like that, like Saul was the old guy. The bad guy, the one who persecuted Christians, and then Paul is the new guy. And the new guy is different. But like Luke says, Paul is really just another name that he went by. Whether he went by Saul or he went by Paul, he was a zealous man. And he was zealous for the law. And the Supreme Court of the Jews, they tasked Paul or Saul with persecuting Christians. And he led the assault on the early church. And then Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and this guy named Ananias came to Paul, and he said, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then this guy, Paul, that has led the assault on Christianity, becomes the leading proponent for Christianity. He wrote more of our New Testament than anybody else. You talk about a fresh start. Or you talk about a change of life. You take somebody that went from being the foremost persecutor of Christians to the foremost advocate of Christianity. But I want to share what Paul says about his conversion, and then for us to think about what that means for our own. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 12. Paul here is writing to his young protege, Timothy, about his conversion. And he says, "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I have received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And I want us to just stop on those few verses and for a few seconds just think about the fact here that Paul has not forgotten his past. Paul doesn't say, "That wasn't me. That was that Saul guy. I don't know much about him, but I didn't do that stuff." Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "I don't remember any of that. That was some other guy." No, he says, "I was a blasphemer." A blasphemer. Someone who speaks against God. Paul had this zeal for God, for Yahweh, but he spoke against. He blasphemed the name of Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know from some of the things he did that he must have said some awful things about Jesus as well. Paul hasn't forgotten, and he doesn't deny. "That was me. I was formerly a blasphemer, not some other guy, but me." He says, "I was a persecutor." Not only did Paul persecute the church, but Jesus. But when he appeared to Saul, do you remember what Jesus asks him? He says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul persecuted Jesus. By persecuting the body of Christ, he persecuted Jesus, and Paul doesn't deny this. And he hasn't forgotten that that was him. He says, "I was the blasphemer. I was the persecutor." He doesn't say that was some other guy named Saul. He says, "It was me. I was the blasphemer. I was the persecutor, the insolent opponent." And that phrase or that idea means someone that is arrogant, offensive, and violent. "I was a brute. I was a bully." Paul hasn't forgotten and doesn't deny that was him. But do you notice that in all of this, he is able to admit and confess these things without shame and without guilt? He can go back to those things in his prior life with thanksgiving. And I think that's amazing. How can someone who did such awful things think back to his former life? Before Jesus, before the change, before repentance, before forgiveness, and think about those things without shame, without guilt, and with thanksgiving, because he recognizes the grace and the mercy of God. When you think back to the past and you recognize and you think about it in light of God's mercy and grace, you too can think back to it with thanksgiving that God has had mercy on you. Paul says in verse 13 that I have received mercy. So now when Paul thinks back to his former life, instead of denying it and saying, "That wasn't me," instead of forgetting it and saying, "I try not to even think about my former life," no, Paul says, "That was me. And I remember it well. And I have received mercy." You see, if we pretend our lives are a VHS tape that we can rewind and erase and write over like it never happened, then we can't. We cannot look back at those things in the past with thanksgiving that God has had mercy on me. It's hard to think back on those things that you've said and done, but Paul can look at his former life with gratitude and thanksgiving because he can recognize in all of those things God has had mercy on him. Now, Paul doesn't necessarily address it in this text, but I think it's important for us to recognize that if we don't recognize our own past, if we pretend it's all just erased and we don't recognize our own weakness, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that he still recognizes. He says, I'm still in the flesh. I still struggle with these things. It isn't as if he went down into the waters of baptism and all of a sudden he came up and the world was perfect. Now I'm the Apostle Paul. Before I was some guy Saul the persecutor, and now I'm a totally different person. It's not like that. When Paul came up out of the water of baptism to walk a new life, he was still in the flesh. And he says in 1 Corinthians 9 that I have to beat my body daily. I don't think he meant literally, but to discipline my body every single day so that after preaching to others, I don't disqualify myself. If we pretend that forgiveness means it's all erased, that it never happened, I'm a totally different person, then how do we recognize that I still struggle? But I'm forgiven. I'm the recipient of such grace and mercy, and I'm incredibly thankful, but I still recognize that there is a battle left to fight. There is still a struggle to be had. I'm still in the flesh, and I have to discipline my body every day. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Some translations say, I am the chief. He doesn't say that Saul guy was the chief of sinners. He says, I am. I am the foremost. And I want us to see that, and I want us to recognize that. I'm not denying it. I'm not erasing it. I'm not hiding it. This is who I have been. I am the foremost of sinners. For this reason, and here's why, the foremost sinner, the one who led the attack on Christianity, here's why God had mercy on him. That in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, and the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. One translation puts it this way. God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners than others, so they will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. It is not that Paul was proud of his sins. But he also didn't deny his sins. He didn't try to hide his sins. He said, it's important that you recognize. It's important that the world recognizes this is what I did. This is whom I have been. These mistakes, I have made them so that Jesus can use me as an example. So he can hold me up to say, if this is what I can do with him, think about what I can do with you. Paul says, I'm not erasing my past. I'm not hiding from my past. I'm not denying my past. This is what I've done. These are the mistakes I've made. This is the path I went down, and God has had mercy on me, and he is repairing me. And if he can do this with me, imagine what he can do with you. You might have heard of kintsugi. It's a Japanese art form, and it started, no doubt, with some expensive pieces of pottery that got broken that were too precious to throw away. So a person took this to a man to have it put together, and the end result came back looking kind of ugly. So another idea came. This idea was formed that you could take broken pottery, and you could put it back together in such a way where the cracks and the brokenness aren't hidden. In fact, the brokenness and the cracks are accentuated, and it's put together with this golden adhesive so that the cracks stand out. And the end result is actually more beautiful and more valuable than it was beforehand. And that's exactly what God is doing with us. He's not hiding the cracks. He's not hiding our brokenness. He's not erasing our past. He's redeeming our past. He's redeeming us, and the end result is better than the beginning. God doesn't erase the past, but he redeems it so that the world can see his handiwork. Isn't that what Paul is telling Timothy? He says, this is why God would have mercy on a guy like me, so that Jesus can use me as his prime example. This is what Jesus does for sinners. He redeems them. He repairs them. He fills in the brokenness with gold. He fills in the brokenness with grace. And the same is true for us. When we look back on our past and we say, I'm a different person than I was before I was a Christian. I'm changed. I live differently than I did. I talk different. I think different. I act different. I still struggle. I'm still very much a work in progress, but I am a different person. But even though I'm different and I'm changed and I'm being transformed and I'm being repaired, I don't want to deny my past. I don't want to boast in it. I'm not proud of it. I wish I wouldn't have done some of those things, but I did do that. I said those things and I went to those places and I hurt people and I did things I shouldn't have done, but God is working in me. He's putting me back together. He's redeeming me so that I don't have to hide who I was. And I don't want to hide what I've done. In fact, I'll show you. Because when you see what God has done in me, you see the handiwork of God. And it's so important that we are a people, who are honest and open about our brokenness. One of my favorite songs is by Leonard Cohen, and he uses a line in there that says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And man, I think that's a true line. If you look at the brokenness, you see the gold. If you look in the brokenness, you see the grace of God. You see what God is doing to redeem our past, redeem our present, and redeem our future. And it's so incredibly important that we don't pretend we don't have brokenness. It's important that we don't pretend we haven't made mistakes. If we pretend we haven't made mistakes, if we pretend we don't have any brokenness, we just set ourselves up for catastrophic failure in the future. If you pretend I've got this all figured out, I don't have any brokenness, that's all been erased, that was some other dude, then we set ourselves up for big failure in the future. Not only that, but guess what? Other people have eyes, and they can see the cracks. They can see the brokenness, and when we try to pretend that we don't have any, they call us out on it. They say, you're a hypocrite. You're a liar. I can see the brokenness. We shouldn't pretend to be a people that doesn't have cracks and brokenness, but a people that is rather honest and open about the brokenness, and that in the brokenness, God is filling them with gold. He's filling it with grace. He's filling it with mercy. When we pretend it doesn't exist, we fail to give God the glory for the repair work that he is doing in our lives. Paul says to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. The glory and honor belong to our Lord, not just in spite of our failures, but through our failures, through our brokenness, through our redemption, through our forgiveness, through the grace, through the mercy. I, for one, am happy, thankful. Thankful might be the better word for it. Thankful that God hasn't erased my past, but has redeemed it. My past is in yesterday. My past is in years ago. I'm thankful that God hasn't just erased it, but has redeemed it so that the world can see the handiwork God has done. I'm thankful that God is doing that in you. So let's be honest with our own brokenness and what God is doing that with and with each other. And when we see that brokenness in each other, instead of despising each other for those mistakes and those failures, let's be thankful that we can see those things and say that's a place that God is working in them. And when we see that in ourselves, we can be thankful and say, this is a place God is working in me. Because if there's anything that all of us have in common, we all have different thoughts and different opinions about different things. But if there's one thing that every single one of us in this room have in common, it's that we've been broken at some point. So let's accentuate that grace and mercy that God has had in our lives and the change in our lives. Paul certainly did not live his life the way he used to live it or do the things that he used to do. There was a genuine repentance, and there is in us as well. And we continue to say, yes, I have made mistakes, and God has shown me mercy and grace, then his hand, so that his handiwork might be seen. Then other people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, let's hope they see our failures. Let's hope they see our mistakes. Let's hope they see who we were and who we are becoming. Let's hope they see God's handiwork in us. Let's not try to hide it or pretend it doesn't exist. It does. And God is doing a work in us. So let's hope and pray that he is glorified for the redemption that is happening in us. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're ready for that fresh start, for that forgiveness to be redeemed the way Paul was. If there was anyone who could think, I've messed up too bad, I've done too many bad things, I've said too many things, I've went to too many places I shouldn't have, Paul says, then look at my life. If God can do this with a murderer, with a persecutor, and a blasphemer, if God can do this with me, just imagine what he can do with you. So if you're ready to begin that walk with Jesus or come back to Jesus, or if you just need prayers or encouragement, we're here to help you in any way. Please come as together we stand and we sing.